Hi, my name is Patricia Bonsu.
My name is Stacey Epia.
And my Black is transnational.
You are listening to Season 5 of My Dad's Podcast, My Black is Transnational, a podcast about Blackness and reconnecting back to our native homelands. Find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Check us out on YouTube. You can follow us on Instagram or blacktransnational.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of My Black is Transnational. My name is Dr. Kalechi Bain Lambert, and coming up on this episode, I have a great conversation with two women, Stacey and Patricia, co-founders of Healthy Haven, Cold Press Juicing Company. And we talk about how their transnational ties to Ghana helps influence the types of products and juices that they make. But before we get into that, let's go through our formalities. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, you can find this podcast anywhere you like to listen to your favorite podcast on any platform, Spotify, Google, Stitcher. If you like video, find us on YouTube. Also, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast if you like what you're listening to. Leave a comment, rate it 5 stars. We really appreciate it. It helps us continue to build this podcast for your listening ears. So anytime you do that, it always helps. Be sure, again, to check us out on social media at Instagram, Black Transnational Podcast. You can follow me, the host, at @BlackTransnational_. Be sure to check out our website at www.blacktransnational.com. That's a one-stop shop for everything you need to know about the podcast. Be sure to check it out. Learn about the guests. Learn about the show. Learn about, you can binge past shows there. So definitely would recommend you all go on the website. Even if you want to be a guest, you can contact us through there as well. So yeah, before I get into the overview about this particular episode, I do want to mention that this is the penultimate episode. So this is the second to the last one for season 5. It's been a great season. Been a long season. But I think this particular episode was fitting for us to be able to have a good conversation about health and juice and just something a little fun. It's also Women's History Month. So when I recorded this, you'll notice that in this episode, you hear me talk about that a little bit. Just kind of keep that in mind. I recorded it around then. Unfortunately, wasn't able to, you know, publish it around then before the month was over. However, still, the spirit remains. We have a great conversation. I wanted to uplift Stacey Appiah and Patricia Bonsu about their company and what they're doing and the great things they're doing. So I just want to put that out there. Regarding the episode, we have a great conversation about just what cold-pressed juices are. Honestly, for someone as educated as I am, wasn't really sure the difference. I find myself to be a simple man sometimes. With simple things, and I was really learning a lot about just how their cultural upbringings and a lot of the things that they've been through in terms of their cultural influences play a major role in terms of just how they go about creating these cold pressed juices. And a lot of the education that is lacking in certain communities and in underserved Black communities regarding cold pressed juices and in African immigrant communities. And so we have these conversations, not just about their development of their company, but also the needs that they're addressing and just where they envision themselves moving forward and how culture and transnationalism play a role in regards to that and where they see themselves and how, you know, their ties to Ghana help them, inspire them, and what they envision for themselves moving forward in not just here, but, you know, all across the world. And so very inspiring conversation, very fun conversation between the three of us. I hope you all enjoyed as much as I did. Be sure to check them out. Be sure to support. If you want to learn more about them, follow them on social media, Healthy Haven. But without any further ado, here's my conversation with Stacey and Patricia from Healthy Haven. Enjoy. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of My Black is Transnational. It's Women's History Month, y'all, and I felt like what a great way to be able to start this show with two of my sisters here representing Healthy Haven. I have on here our guests for today, Stacey Appiah and Patricia Bonsu, representing Healthy Haven, representing Ghana, right? These are, and also representing U of I. So you got to put that all out there. But y'all, welcome to the show. Thank y'all for taking the time to talk about transnational experiences, but also all the great things that you all got going on with Healthy Haven, which we're eager to learn about.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. So, you know, usually I'm about giving the accolades, but I do want to take a minute or so for you all to just introduce yourselves, however you want to introduce yourselves to our listeners, and just kind of let them know who you are, what you do, where you're from culturally, and anything else you want to share before we get into our conversation.
All right. I guess I'll go first. My name is Patricia Bonsu, and my background is in public health, healthcare. I am a project manager, and I've been working within this space for about 8 to 10 years. And I'm one of the co-owners for Healthy Haven Cold Pressed Juice. And so I bring that health, operation, project management aspects to Healthy Haven.
Hello. I'm Stacey Apia. I'm a first generation Ghanaian. I graduated from the University of Illinois. I currently work in corporate finance, been doing that for about 10 plus years now, with a focus in kind of that technology risk management. But I guess my connection to Healthy Haven is just kind of wanting to make sure that I had access to just, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables and just in my own community. And so I saw that lack and realized that, you know, if we could come together with Patricia and bring that to life and bring more options to people that look like me. So
that's real. Yeah. That's real. So now first, before we get into the juice, right? Like what led y'all there? Like what was growing up like in Chicago? Like you all representing Ghana, right? And so what was growing up, coming up as young Ghanaian women, how does that play a role in terms of your upbringing and all the things that's kind of led you to where you all are now? Whoever wants to start first.
Great question. I guess I can start. So like I mentioned, grew up, born and raised on the south side of Chicago, in the hundreds, in the wild hundreds, wild if you want to call it.
Yeah, wild hundreds.
In the wild hundreds.
Be specific.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It was, I always never felt like ostracized or different but from my friends. I mean, they never treated me different. I mean, they knew I was Ghanaian. But I always, you know, kind of just always felt there was a difference, you know, like you go outside, we're playing, you know, we're all kids. But I know that like in my household, things are going to go a different way. Like my parents are probably going to go for what your parents going for. Yeah. So it was just always kind of, I hate to say like living a double life, yeah, but it's like, it's in a sense, it's like that duality of knowing that, my environment that I live in is not really, it's not similar, it's not the same, or it's not reflective of necessarily of what I see in my own household. Mm. But it did definitely give me a sense of pride, of knowing that there, I do have this difference. I do have this, uniqueness about me. And I have this strong family. I know who my ancestors are. I know where they came from. Not that connection to kind of, I guess, the traditional African-American Black history. It's a different story that I can claim, that I know, and I can own. Mm.
So, like, first, before we get into you, like, Patty, like, so, Stacey, was you've never been called an African booty scratcher?
I don't recall. Well, so no, I don't have that many negative experience.
Okay, that's cool. That's that. Good. I mean, like, unless you just like blocked out the trauma, which is also good, right? Like,
blocked out that could be a thing too. But you know, so the good. So I had two sisters growing up, right? And so we all went to the same elementary school, mm-hmm. and they were older than me, of course, and like they're the cool sisters, yeah. And so they played sports in school and things like that. And they were like, well, one of my sisters valedictorian of the school. So like, I kind of had that, like, oh, that's Josephine's little sister, yeah, type thing. Yeah. So I had that. And so I didn't really get too much. I'm trying to think of it. I probably did block out the trauma. Like, I'm just not accepting it. But I always kind of felt that was like a little bit of, I was shielded maybe from that experience because it was kind of like, that's just Josephine's little sister.
Wait,
you know?
A minute. Did you just say Josephine?
Mm-hmm.
I never made the connection. Oh my God. I never made the connection. Like, wow. Okay, sorry. That was an interesting. I didn't know that. You are Josephine's sister. Oh wow, that's crazy. Okay, crazy, crazy.
Wait, okay, so we have to like connect.
Yeah. No, small, the name definitely rings a bell, which is why I'm like, I've heard, I know that name. And so, yeah, okay, which is, again, but you know, we're African. How small is our world? Like,
there definitely could be some overlap somewhere.
Yeah, but okay, man, Patty, holla at me. What's going on with you?
So I also grew on the south side of Chicago, more so 81st Chatham area. Yes. And so I, like Stacy, you know, I have a lot of siblings. So we all went to the same elementary school. So it was more so, okay, this is another Bonsu that's coming into this school. More so, okay, we know they're Ghanaian, right? And I think we may have been the only African in our school, maybe.
Really?
And it's more so like, you know, they have an accent. They say certain things weird. Or, you know, my parents were very involved. They came to the school. You knew who they were. You're going to hear my dad accent. You're going to hear them. And so they're like, okay, she's not from here. So I necessarily never got the African booty scratcher, but I got some other words that were said to me. Or, you know, why your nose look like that? Or you blackety black? Or, you know, certain things that they said to be like, okay, am I not African American enough? Yeah. Or, you know, what is it? Where do I fit in? Because Ghanaians, when I go to Ghana, they're like, ah, she's a Kata. She's African American. But then in America, like those who understand, I'm like, oh, she's from somewhere else. She's so exotic. So it's more so of like, where do I fit in? Who's going to accept me? So it was just more so of really trying to understand who I was and my identity, accepting who I was.
Yeah.
And honestly, I didn't really accept that until later on, I would say maybe more so college, end of high school.
Yeah, I definitely was about to ask that question in terms of like, when did you come to terms and be like, yo, this is it. And being African is dope, right? Being African is cool. And we find, you know, these spaces where we can all accept each other. We can all commiserate, you know what I mean? We can all just kind of relate, you know? So Stacy, when was that for you? Or did you ever like, did you always have that?
Definitely, I would say towards the end of high school, definitely college. Because there were pockets. So as Patricia mentioned, growing up on the South Side, there weren't that many Ghanaians. So it was either their family, or I think their family, because we're so close that they basically are family. I call them auntie and uncle.
Yeah.
So we would, you know, visit them on the weekends every now and then. But like, other than that, all my friends are African-American. That's it. Like maybe a white teacher here and there, but that's pretty much it as far as diversity. And so it was having like that pride and knowing that I know my family, but not necessarily like getting access to that community aspect, you know, throughout the year or like throughout my entire life. It's just pockets of it. But it was definitely once I got to college where it was like, okay, all right, now I see us every day. Yeah. We get to attend different organizations, events. And it was kind of like everyone in particular, African-Americans were just kind of like, okay, like what's going on? What y'all doing? What y'all eating? What's that? They had more questions about things that were going on, as opposed to like maybe more in high school. They knew, but they definitely didn't ask questions about the culture. It's just they kind of just knew that, like, oh, okay, y'all dinner may not be the same dinner that I'm eating, but at the same time, you know, they knew that I was Ghanaian. So definitely, I would say maybe high school, college. It was like, yeah,
you know. You know what, people. You know what's interesting, y'all, is for us, and I won't even necessarily claim being a Southsider, because I started off up north. I started off up north, then moved it south when I was like, you know, teenager or everything. But I realized that there's a little bit of a difference between the South Side, people who already like grew up South Side, you know, Ghanaians or even Nigerians, is just we have that, or I should say y'all, cause I'm claiming South because I'm, you know, little, but y'all have the ability to code switch harder than the north side, like Ghanaians, right? Because y'all were already deep with the African Americans in the community, so the code switching is a lot stronger than, you know, for those who were up north, where it was a lot easier because there were so many more of us, like, mm-hmm. in the north side. You know, we have our own little, like, community there. So the ability to be able to have regular, you know, conversations with a twang of an accent is a little mm-hmm. easier, where, you know, I think for the Southsiders is like, yo, what you finna do? Oh, we're going to eat King Kate. Like, you can literally switch in, like, in a second. And, like, so I wonder, though, as you all have evolved to professionals, especially being, like, Black women in certain spaces. So, like, Stacey, you're in corporate, and, you know, Patty, you're in healthcare. How is that, your ability to code switch, go back and forth, and kind of, you know, like you said, live that dual life or change identities? Is that something that shows itself in the workforce, or is this something that you all have, just you all stand on the business now, who you are, and you just kind of go with it? So how do y'all navigate your professional spaces?
I'll definitely say absolutely, in terms of code switching within my profession. I've worked in hospitals, I worked in academia, and I definitely have seen that in hospitals, maybe foreigners. So there's a language barrier. They may come into the hospital, it's a form that they need to check or something that they need to fill out, and there is a nurse that may not understand what they're saying. But as I was working in administration, they'll call me in and say, okay, we have such and such. They may not be from Ghana, they may be from Nigeria or Liberia, but it's more so of connecting with them to say, hey, I'm Patricia. Oh, you're from Africa, you're from Ghana. Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to fill this, but they're not understanding. So it's more so of being patient with them, understanding, because I also have parents, right? And there's a barrier too when they go to the doctor, when they go to the hospitals, or just even at a grocery store. It's like, you really don't understand what she's saying. I can clearly understand what she's saying. And so just being able to kind of talk to them in a way, but then go back and say, all right, doctor, this is what she want. I need you to check this off. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely had to code switch, definitely more so in a hospital setting, just working with the patient and being in administration.
That's real. I'm gonna have to come back to that too. I have a couple thoughts on that, but Stacey, go ahead.
Yep, definitely. It's a good thing and a bad thing at times. I feel like it's great because you can understand people that are coming from different places. As Patricia mentioned, you may have a colleague in India or in some way, another country that may have an accent. And so it's just easier for me to understand them and maybe just kind of understand different cultural differences or be more patient with them overall, because you know that, like, there's always cultural barriers. And so I think that's a good thing. But sometimes I will say, just being in corporate, I'm pushing myself to kind of just show up a little bit more authentically and not feel like I need to be in this, like, corporate box or say this thing a perfect way, because it's kind of like, look, the quality is there. So however it's coming, as long as it's not rude or, you know, like, unprofessional, accept me. And so even down to, like, the way I wear my hair at work nowadays, kind of like I'm just trying to show up more authentic and be just more confident in who I am, no matter where I am, and not feeling like I have to code switch. Like, sometimes, you know, it may be a little bit appropriate to be a little bit more professional than not, but at the same time, I don't want to just, you know, change myself. So it's definitely finding the balance between feeling like you're being your authentic self, but then also, you know, still being, you know, in a different environment.
That seems to be what the tide seems to be turning or changing in terms of how people are showing up, especially in these professional spaces. There's a little bit more intentionality in how authentic you're showing up in these spaces and representing yourself, but also in some cases representing your culture. And it was interesting because I've had conversations in the past about just even going down to just the name and the name that we bring and the name that we want people to call us at work compared to, you know, when we're outside or with our family, you know, and all those things matter. But Patty, you bring up something, of course, with us being in community health and public health and working in the health space, right? That idea of our parents and them getting older and just their ability to access and navigate healthcare systems, right? And that's, like, one of the things that I'm actually, like, working on a project on right now, doing research on, especially for our people who are we don't talk about issues like dementia and things like that, right? It's just, you know, but we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we help African immigrants navigate the health space, the, you know, healthcare system? And so when you bring that up, that ability of one, us, our generation serving as the translators, and we're the ones that we understand white language, but we also understand the blackest of language, and then we also understand our language. And so it's like we are their AI, right? Like it's crazy, but we have to be the one to kind of be able to help them do that. But I also worry that, like, man, in times where when you're not there, right? Like, you know, like Patty, weren't you like in DC for a minute?
I was a lot of places, but yes.
Yeah, right. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, we're traveling, we're not away, you know, we're not nearby, right. And then the issues are getting older. It's like, man, how do you like continue to help them navigate when you can't even understand just something as simple as, you know, what they're saying? And it's in English, right? Like, so it's not like it's the Queen's English, right? Like, it's whatever, but it's just something that stands out to me as I was thinking about that. So I definitely appreciate you sharing that. But okay, so let's get to like the story behind like Healthy Haven and the code you press it. Like Juice, like, is this what your parents sent you to school for? Like, is this what your parents sent you to school for? Hey, like, what's going on? This is not what your parents sent you to school for. Like, what led y'all to this and being able to do what y'all doing with the code Juice presses and Healthy Haven's beginning?
Sure. So I'll chime in a little bit about that. So I used to live in DC and I used to come home and visit. And I believe Stacy was dropping me to the airport and we stopped at a smoothie place and we got some smoothies. I said, you know what? I would love for this to be in around the south side of Chicago. Because at that time, and I'm not sure, I believe it may have been 2017, 2018 or so.
Okay.
And I said, this will be great. The south side of Chicago, I don't see much of juice shops. This will be dope. I know I'm in DC. I would love for that to be in DC. It was more popular in DC area. So Stacy also said, me too, this is the same thing that I was thinking. And so pandemic happened, and then I moved home, and I'm like, Stacy, you trying to do this or what? And so we just started working through during the pandemic, thinking of a name, like, why do we want to create Healthy Haven? Do we want a physical location? Where do we even start? And so that's kind of how, like, we came together to form this juice business.
That's crazy.
Said it.
so it was just like, you know what? Like, this juice right here. We need more of this. And it was like, all right, well, then pandemic happened and then y'all just started. Okay.
Yeah. I think one thing to note is that, yeah, like, we were on our way to the airport too. And specifically there was, I think the one that we went to, she was just asking like, so you come all the way over here just to get, you know, your acai bowl? And I'm like, yeah, because there is only like maybe one that I know of that's like kind of near me. You have to drive to get there, but I wasn't.
Midway or O'Hare?
I think Midway.
Okay.
Yep. Wow. And there was just, I think, only one other competitor that I was aware of, and I didn't prefer what they offered. Mm-hmm. And so my only other option was to go to that other far location. And it was kind of just like, okay, this is kind of crazy. We need more options. Yeah. We need variety. Yeah. There shouldn't only be one of this type of healthy option available for us. So, yeah.
Okay, so what are the challenges? Like, I mean, before we can even get deeper into like what y'all offer, I mean, you all, as being an entrepreneur, being business owners, being Black women, trying to start something that is not heavily like available, and not as present in particular areas, especially like in the South Side, right? Where, you know, there are challenges in its own right in spaces where many of our people live in terms of being Black. And so I wonder, like, what were some of the things you all had to deal with or are dealing with in terms of just kind of kicking these things off? And how did y'all overcome any barriers that y'all face right now?
Okay. Yeah. So definitely a lot of barriers, I would say, because our business is very unique that we are selling a cold pressed juice, which the shelf life is about 3 to 4 days. There's a lot of regulations there's a lot of licenses that you have to acquire. And so we did have to put in a lot of effort and time going to the city of Chicago, standing in line, signing documents, just for us to get started or be in a shared kitchen space. And that's where we actually produced the juice. But there was definitely a lot of barriers into that. But then also knowing that, you know, we're grateful and we're thankful that we see more cold pressed juice businesses around, you know, during this year of 2024. But we know that, you know, we are competing against other juice businesses, but we also have to understand that we have our own niche. Right. We are different than other businesses and why we stand out versus others. And so it's more so of being more confident in what we provide to the community and why we're doing this, more so of comparing ourselves to other juice businesses.
Yeah. So what makes y'all unique? What's the niche?
Oh, okay. Stacey, you want to chime in or you want me to keep going?
I was going to ask the last point. Okay, that one of our challenges real quick. So one of our challenges, especially for just Black and brown communities, just being 100% honest and transparent, is kind of making sure we overcome the education factor of cold pressed juice and the health benefits of it. Yeah. A lot of people can kind of just put us in a box of like, oh, it's just juice.
Right.
Or I can go get a Hawaiian punch and that's going to quench my thirst, as opposed to no, you're actually that all of the high fructose corn syrups and all the additives that are in it, as in understanding the value of that versus okay, no, you're getting 100% fresh kale, fresh spinach, and this is actually good for you. And so, and understanding our cost, you know, related to that, and kind of making sure that people understand the difference. That's kind of just an ongoing thing, just explaining it to just kind of anyone, I won't even say Black and brown, just anyone who is not really familiar with the cold pressed juice process. They're just looking at it as like, it's just juice. It's the same as a Minute Maid, you know, comparing it to things that are not in our niche that you mentioned. So just want to make sure we add that in there.
I appreciate you adding that, because I definitely, it was one of the questions I was going to ask, as far as like what makes a cold pressed juice like special than, you know, getting something from the store at Walmart, right? Because the listeners will be like, well, it's just juice, but yeah, it's natural, it's fresh, it's organic, and it's the purity of it and the ingredients that are much better for you because it's made from scratch, right? So now,
and just go ahead, just to add a more so into the niche, you know, a lot of people drink cold pressed juice for different reasons. Some people is more for cleanse, other people is more so once in a while I want to, you know, replace it with the meal. And so for us, we want to expose, you know, anyone in Chicago, not just African-Americans, but definitely just more so incorporating in your everyday lifestyle, just taking the small little steps. So, okay, yes, in the morning for breakfast, I may have some oatmeal. And instead of having maybe some Minute Maid orange juice, I actually had Healthy Haven cold pressed juice Sunset, which has orange and other natural flavors in there to be added to my meal. So little do you know, every day you may be taking these small steps to incorporate these cold pressed juice. And then it's more of a lifestyle, like, okay, every day I'm drinking a juice, or every weekend I'm going to make sure that I'm drinking a juice for lunch, dinner, or breakfast, just to make sure that it's now more of a lifestyle. So it's not more so, okay, I want to lose weight, but it's a lifestyle. I want to feel healthy. I want to look healthy. I want to make sure that I'm getting the nutrition that I need.
Absolutely. And so how much time do you spend educating people about this when you're out promoting and putting your business out there? Like, how much effort do you have to put into it?
I would say it's like 50% of the time. Like every time we have a customer, like specifically at like a farmer's market, for instance, with every customer, we're given an explanation of, explaining the ingredients, how it was made. Some people still, you know, they may know about cold pressed juices, but they don't know, they may not know exactly how we make our, you know, specific cold pressed juices. They may not know about the shelf life. They may not know just these little nuanced things that that make our juice different, and that makes it, you know, more healthy than just going, like I said, and getting the tea next door, or the lemonade or something like that. So it's definitely with every customer, almost like 50% of the time. I mean, we try to just educate every customer that we see, but about 50% of the time, we are really giving that education and let people know that this is 100% fresh fruit and vegetables, no heat involved in the cold, I mean, in the pressing, which keeps maintains the nutrients, things like that.
Okay.
And I will say it also depends on the area that we're in. Mm. So if we're on the north side, or if we're more so like in Lincoln Park, there's a Lincoln Park farmers market that we participate in.
Okay.
Because of the, I should say, demographic that we are selling to, we may not be need to explain so much because they get it. They are very familiar with cold pressed juice. This is something that they drink on a regular basis. Mm. But depending on other areas, we may have to say, okay, explain, like Stacey said, explain why we're here, what are we doing. So it definitely depends on where we are also in terms of the location within Chicago.
Okay. And so for, it's just y'all two, right, running this?
Yes.
So I'm curious, yes, like, how are y'all doing this? What roles do y'all play? Who's doing what roles? Somebody doing the creation side? Is somebody doing the business side? Or are you all splitting it 50? Like, how are y'all handling this?
It's a marathon, not a sprint. So we are definitely learning, you know. So every day, every experience, we're learning. But it's definitely been like kind of more of like a 50-50 thing.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we definitely step in and understand that, you know, Patricia may be more of a planner. Mm-hmm. So she may come through with some strategy that she thinks that may be a direction that we should move in. And I may come in with, this is something we should do that financially related to for our future to try to make this decision. Yeah. We kind of just, I think we always look at all of our different plans together. Like, mm-hmm, if there's any opportunity that presents itself to us, and then we kind of just hop in and pull out, you know, okay, well, I can take care of this. I'll take care of this. But it's definitely a balancing act and just a lot of like trial and error learning and just making sure we keep our communication going. And
I definitely need to give Stacey more credit. Stacey's more of a big picture person.
Okay.
I am more of the detail. So
okay, yeah,
she's gonna say something and I will be like, okay, that's great, but then I need to step in to be like, okay, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like, we need to get from here to there. So we definitely balance each other out, because she's definitely come with definitely great creative ideas. And I'm more so, okay, how do we break this down?
Yeah.
So I definitely give her credit for that in terms of balancing each other out, and just giving us each space to kind of just do what we do at our best, right?
Yeah.
I can't be Stacy. She can't be me. I can't want Stacy to be me or do things the way that I want it to be done, although that was difficult when we first started. Mm-hmm. But for me, but, you know, just learning, understanding like my business partner and what she's good at and letting her flourish and do what she needs to do. And it definitely makes us be more of a great business partner.
Yeah, no, I love that. Sure. I love that combination, that yin yang, in terms of, I'm a big picture person and I needed someone to kind of be the one, because we're always thinking about what is and what it will be. And you have to have that somebody kind of keep you a little bit grounded in the day to day and be like, okay, this is not going to be as sweet. So I love that balance that you have with each other. And so, of course, being more nosy, who made the first juice? Like, what was the juice that, like, when did y'all, what was the first flavored juice that y'all made? And what was that moment like for y'all? Like, when y'all made y'all first juice, because it's pandemic, I'm sure, like, y'all had to, did y'all, is this something that y'all learned? Like, and when y'all did learn it, like, y'all made y'all first juice and was like, y'all tasted it and was like, man, this is fire, we got to keep doing this. Or was it like, I don't know, man. Like, so I'm curious what that story was like.
You know what? That is such a good question in terms of the first juice that we created.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go to our juice called Odol, which means love and tree.
Okay.
Stacy, you know, I've eaten beets before, like roasted it, but I've never consumed it.
Okay.
And I think Stacy, if I'm not mistaken, she brought up the idea for this ingredient. And I was like, okay, I'm a little bit weary of how it's going to taste. Beets can be a little grainy or earthy, as they say. Mm. But it came together. We were trial and error. And I think for us, while we were in the kitchen, we had to say, okay, maybe we need to add a little bit more pineapple. Maybe we need to reduce the beets. Maybe we need to add more carrots. So I will say we definitely worked on that juice a lot to get it to where it is now. And I definitely love it. So I definitely want to highlight Odele in terms of kind of the first juice we made in the kitchen.
Agreed. I think we definitely came together because we both juiced before, you know, personally. And so we had ideas of like what we like. But then again, once again, that yin and yang and that balance that helps our business, and has helped our business. I typically like sweeter juices. Patricia sometimes does it, but she's like, yo, this is too much. Like, this is too sweet. Everyone probably won't like that. And I'm like, okay, you're right. So like we
That makes
literally
sense.
just had a day where we kind of that came together and had like we wanted to make like several recipes. So I definitely think Aldo was probably one of the first, but we made like maybe four or five juices that day. And we were like juiced out that day. But it was, yeah, we came together and we just kind of it was that trial and error. Like we know what will taste good together. We know what we've seen with our competitors and what we didn't like, and we just kind of like just went from there, and it's just kind of just been evolving and think and listening to customers too.
Yeah,
Now that we
feedback.
have customers that say like, you guys should get a juice that has this, you know, things like that. So, but we definitely came together with that first recipe through trial and error, but luckily we knew what we were doing.
Yeah, no, y'all definitely sound like y'all know what
And
y'all
then
doing.
also we, in terms of making juices, we thought about the fruits and vegetables we eat on a regular basis and what we think if we combine it, what it would taste like. So we also came to the table and say, okay, I eat a lot of red apples, but what kind of red apples? Is it gala apple? You know, is it big
Honey
red? Like
crisp.
what type of apples? And then if we compared it with this fruit. So it was a lot of the fruits we already eat and then just kind of making the creation of, okay, I think pairing these two together will give a really nice smooth or tangy flavor or rich flavor or sweet or light flavor. So we were in the kitchen testing a lot. And so definitely we're definitely proud of our products that we've made because it took a lot of time to get to where we are now.
And that's, you know, and I want the listeners to understand that, right? That's one of the reasons I'm asking this question, is that's for people to understand that, yes, you all took a leap of faith during the pandemic, but you all are putting in the work and you all are putting in the hours, trial and errors, and making sure that you all are creating the best products, not just, you know, for your customers, continue to grow your business, but you can tell that the intention and the care factor that you all are contributing to making this make this thing what it's going to be and what it is right now. So in terms of just like I'm thinking about what you mentioned, the first name of your juice, Ado, I believe is what you said. And I was gonna ask, so you're kind of doing my job for me. What is, you know, I was gonna ask like how your cultural influences, being Ghanaian Americans, being Ghanaians, how does that influence your business and the type of flavors you're making? Do you take from back home, and do you use that to influence some of the, you know, some of the juices you make? And so you kind of touched on it a little bit. If you all can expound on it a little bit as far as if it does or if it doesn't, and then, you know, I got another question to follow up that as well.
Yes, absolutely. So, our customers would notice, or anyone looking at our website, they would notice the uniqueness of our names for the juices. And so, maybe a good six of our juices have a Ghanaian Thai name to it. So, the name that we just said, Odo, means love. Or we have a juice called High Life. So, in terms of High
High
Life, it's
life.
High Life music. So we named one of our juice like that because when we taste it, it's like, you know what, this is so
It's
good.
a
I just want to
vibe.
start dancing. Like this is so dope. So we have various names for our juices and where it stemmed from. And so we also just name them based upon our experiences when we're growing up, those basement parties where we came and we met, and we're like up until 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm sleeping on somebody's coat because my parents are not ready to go, but they're still jamming to some high life music. Or like Odo, like I'm sure if you heard some Ghanaian songs, Odo is mentioned in a lot of Ghanaian hip life or high life music. And so, you know, and then when they ask us, oh, what about this name? We then begin to say, okay, well, we're Ghanaian, we're from West Africa, and then our language tree, this means love. And so it gives them to say, oh wow, like this is just not just a cold pressed juice, but you guys are from West Africa and you guys are incorporating your culture. And then another thing to add is ginger. Like we put ginger in our stew. We put ginger in a lot of things in our in other like Ghanaian traditional drinks. And so we do add a hint of ginger in our juices too, and that makes it a little more unique. And I will definitely say a lot of I would say foreigners, they do gravitate towards those gingery drinks. And then we're also noticing that non-foreigners more so because they know the health benefit of ginger. And so we do explain, like, you know, we do put ginger in our foods and things of that nature. But I'll let Stacey go.
Yes, everything you said, yes, 100%.
Stacey, like, yeah, retweet, I mean, definitely... retweet.
like sure. But definitely I think we wanted to make sure that our juices, our brand was a reflection of us. And so every time, right, you're seeing that the name of that juice, if you don't know what it means, you're gonna learn the name of it, and it's gonna, you know, trigger a memory or transport you or make you think about something or something related to our culture. And usually it leads to more questions about our culture. And so a win-win, you know, and so we're educating people and letting them know more about Ghana and why it's so dope.
Absolutely. And so first question is, have y'all been back to Ghana lately? And second question is, how did your parents, your families respond when they learned that you all are creating a you know, healthy haven, a cold pressed juice company?
So I can start, I guess, this one. Okay. I think I went to Ghana in March of 2023. That was the last time I've been there for Ghana Independence and to go visit my mom who lives there permanently now. And so it was great, of course. I loved it. And I guess to answer the question of telling our parents about, you know, that we've now started a juice company, and they're like, wait, what? But no, they were super excited. I think for me, I think I told her after we had kind of already gotten to the point where, like, okay, this is a well-oiled machine.
Ain't no turning back now.
Bro, like, money has already been invested. Look, we doing this. So just support me by force, please.
Right?
But no, definitely after the concept was there, after the names were selected, you know, of course, Patricia, like, letting business partner, like, all of that was kind of already set. And so now it's like, okay, this is what we're doing. Support me. But no, so, like, do you have any thoughts? Do you have, because they definitely, you know, it's like, oh, you selected Sikai as a name? Oh, you know, they had their thoughts about things like that. So, oh, well, let me taste the juice. So when you have a chance, bring some over so I can give it to this auntie and this uncle, those type of things. So it was actually cool just to see them have questions about the business and support us and kind of give feedback, wanted or unwanted, but, you know, that happens. But it's been nice for them to kind of just see us, and they've all, you know, supported us and been super like, okay, business owner, business owner, you're always so busy, but look, you moved here and you had us in the States for a reason, and we're just trying to, you know, live the American dream. Absolutely. You know, business owners.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so I was just in Ghana in January. Okay. I try and go every year if I can. And so when I told my parents about the juice business, I had to tell them later, once everything was kind of like, all right, we're doing this because...
such African children.
You don't want to tell them
in the beginning. No.
You may not even make
this. You may not make it past
there, okay?
I swear.
You may not make it. So I had to tell them later on when I was more confident in myself.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's, you know,
it's the life.
That's just another topic when it comes to that. But, you know, they were like, it's exciting. Or they were more like, you have spinach in this? Like, you know, this is good. This is great. Or they're like, oh, this is... maybe you should come to our Ghanaian community such and such meeting and talk about your juices.
Yes.
I'm sure they will love it, but will they buy? But, you know, just kind of like, you know, proud of us and, you know, letting them know, like, Stacey was my business partner. They're like, you and Stacey? I'm like, yes, me and Stacey are business partner. Because, I mean, we grew up together. Yeah. And so it was more so, okay, you guys know each other, you trust each other in terms of that nature. So it was more so later on when we kind of was like, okay, we're getting ready to launch, we're getting ready to go. They love the juices. They always have questions. They're always giving us ideas, even though it may not be the right ideas for us to take. But we know that they support us in their ways.
Yes.
You know the interesting thing about our people, and I'm not even talking about just African people, I'm talking about just being black. I'm curious about, especially because you all want to do it in a, in the black and brown community, right? And you're representing us in multiple ways. Do you all have to kind of hit people with the black tax, or do you have to deal with the people like, oh, come on, girl, like, give me, let me get this for a dollar, like. Stacy, gee, come on, girl. Listen,
It's
this
a,
juice right here, man. Come on now. Like, let me get this. How much you charging for this? What, 20? What, girl? Let me get
Yeah.
this for this. Let me just, give me a look. Family discount. Like, what's up? Do you
I
get
rinsed you.
that?
I
Huh?
changed your
Yeah.
diapers. I
Oh,
rinsed
God.
you. When we first
Oh.
started, our mission was to strictly be in black and brown communities.
Right.
And we're like, we're gonna be for the black and brown communities. We're gonna go into the neighborhoods. We're gonna be in on the south side. We're gonna be in Chatham. We're gonna be in the hundreds. And then we realized they're not buying.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're not buying. So
That's.
we have to do more education in those communities before they can buy. So we had to be strategic because, we're not a non-for-profit organization. We are a business. God willing, if we go that route, that would be great. And so we had to kind of pick and choose of when and what events to do. Okay, we know we're doing this event. We can't charge the full price.
Right.
We got to go down. Or you know what? We may not sell our larger size item of bottles, maybe a 16-ounce. We may have to go down. So we do adjust basically in terms of the community that we're working with, especially when it comes to participating in like Ghana Fest or other African festivals that we may want to participate in. We may have to reduce our price because they may not be knowledgeable about our juices, but we've done these type of events and they love our juices, but it's more so the price as like, hey, $8. Like, really? You want to charge me $8, Patricia? Or they may say my name. Oh yeah, like come on,
Hit you
like
with the African name, like.
Come on. And you think I'm just gonna be like, oh, auntie, uncle. So we definitely had to be like, okay, we gotta put our foot down and be solid. This is a business. Not because you changed my diaper or you grew up with me or you know my parents, but it's like, come on, it's
It's a
a business.
business, right? Exactly. No, that's tough.
100%.
That is tough. I think about that all the time. Like, man, we gotta, how do you navigate, especially with the culture, that whole, I change your diaper. I'm the one, when your mom was working, like, I'm the one that watched you. Like, oh my God,
Without
what?
being disrespectful,
Exactly.
right?
Without being
Without being like,
disrespectful. That's key. Heavy on
yes,
that. Oof.
yes.
Yeah. All right. So like, what's the most popular juice y'all got going right now?
Ooh, okay. So popular, I would say Tumi,
Okay.
which is a simple juice, which is just red apple, which is Gala apple and ginger.
Okay.
A lot of our customer gravitates towards those juices. It's a simple drink, it's a smooth drink, and it's really tasty. So
Okay.
that's one popular drink.
I need that. I'm a very basic person. So like when it comes to flavors, I'm very simple. So I'm just thinking like, what would somebody like me who really just like, if you took me to the ice cream shop, I just want vanilla, right? Like I'm not even, don't give me no cookies and cream, right? Don't give me no apricot and Neapolitan. Like, no. I just want to know that there is apple and there's juice, right? Like whatever the case may be, right? Like so like I'm just, so I wonder what, like, to me is the popular one. Which one is the more like where you become mad scientist and you throw all the ingredients in there, your most complex flavor, but people still, try it if they're curious.
That's a good question.
I want to say Aldo because we have some people that have that barrier to, to beets and just assume that like, oh yeah, this is gonna be, that earthy flavor, but it's actually there's that balance, should I say, because there's carrots, there's apples, there's pineapple. So I feel like that's one of those drinks, but different demographics seems to gravitate towards different juices. But that definitely, as Patricia mentioned, it took some time for us to really kind of get that recipe together, because we definitely wanted to find the balance of just making sure it was smooth, not too sweet, not too much beets. Like, it's definitely something that we had to work with and make sure we got it just right.
Okay. And there was,
and I want to go back to what you said, simple ingredients, and that's what we stand on, is using simple everyday ingredients and ingredients in our juices. As we started off, we did have a lot of juices with various ingredients. Then we had to change our menu to be like, okay, let's go simple. Let's use two or three fruits, or let's use two fruits. And we noticed those were the juices that were selling often and more. So the simple ingredients, the simple fruits and vegetables that you eat on a regular basis, we changed up our menu to be more simple ingredients and fruits and vegetables that we use.
What type of sizes y'all got? Like, do they come in one size only? Is it multiple sizes? How do you go about doing that?
We have two sizes. We currently have 12 and 16 ounce bottles.
Got you. Okay. And so for those, like, do you intend to try to take this? I mean, I know we're thinking big picture, so Stacey, I'm with you, right? Like, big picture, do you all plan to try to, especially since y'all go back home often, is this something that you all, when things become very, very well oiled and you all continue to be more solidified, you know, because I was going to ask, do you plan to do like a brick and mortar thing, or you plan to do more like mobile kind of but I wonder if you plan to take that back home to Ghana as well and try to introduce that, you know, to the community there. Is that something you've talked about or considered?
I thought about that in regards to, it will definitely be, I don't want to say easier in terms of the access to the fresh fruits.
That's what I was thinking about. That's what I was thinking about.
Like, I mean, going back home, it's, everything is just different. Like, the flavor of things, the food is fresher.
It's richer,
the chicken, like, they just killed it in the backyard. We're about to chop it up. But it's just it's just better and more nutritious. So it's a thought that definitely I've thought of in regards to, you know, will this work? Have I seen actually juice businesses in Ghana? It's not a lot, maybe a couple. So that is a market. You know, a friend of mine said, you know, when thinking about businesses that you want to bring back from America to, you know, Ghana or wherever it is you're from, think of something that's thriving in America that you feel like when you bring it back to Ghana, people will love it. So, you know, just in any type of idea that you have, you also want to, you know, take that back home. So definitely have thought about it and taken it home. But how, when we're just two people? But you know what? We're not going to think about that, you know? So we're just going to definitely think big, right? And so definitely, I guess, in terms of long term, you know, I definitely was so like brick and mortar, having our own location, that would be so dope. And then as we progress, I think we're going into year three with our business. We said, you know what, maybe we should focus more doing wholesale. So when you go into a Trader Joe's, when you go into a Whole Foods, I want to see Healthy Haven cold pressed juice as an option, you know, because there are already options there. But I would definitely love to see Healthy Haven as an option in terms of purchase of juice.
Absolutely. And also, hopefully, God willing, tapping into kind of those larger events. Or catering events, just opportunities where we can get offer our juice to a large clientele or to a large amount of people in just one swift movement. So hopefully just doing those type of catering events or just any event. So book us if you're watching. But definitely just events. That's kind of what I've definitely been thinking about this year, and just ways to get our names out there. So when people are hosting all of these different events, organizations, they think of Healthy Haven as an option.
That's something that I think in terms of just what the education part of it too, I just think has so much, there's so much impact, and not only in what the product you're creating, but just also kind of just I shouldn't say it in a bad way, but like bringing to light just the lack of awareness that exist in terms of learning about the benefits of these juices. And it just kind of speaks to, again, from a public health standpoint, I just think about how misinformed and how exposed our Black and brown communities have been to such poor nutrition, right? And so the standard of what good juice is has been this low quality because that's just what we know and not understanding what we've been consuming. And so what y'all are doing, mm-hmm. in addition to the products you're creating and the health benefits that they have, but also then that health education piece is also going to be very important, and it can change lives, you know. And like you said, kind of influencing and becoming a lifestyle intervention of sorts is actually pretty dope. All right, I got two more questions, and I know we'll wrap up because I know I've been being real nosy with y'all, but that's what we're here for. the second to the last thing I do want to know, and I think this is more so for the listeners who might be inspired by what you all are doing and might be wanting to go do something. What is the biggest lesson you've learned so far, 3 years into the game? What is the biggest lesson you learned that you want to share with anybody who might be considering doing what y'all are doing?
I would say know what you're good at and be confident in what you're good at. I think oftentimes, and this is just in the workplace, when you're doing the business, whatever you're doing, like what you're good at, do it 100%. Right. And you just bring to the table what you can bring and allow others to do their part. Because I think sometimes we want to wear so many hats and we may not be able to give 100% into this bucket. Or we may say, okay, I think I could potentially do that, but I'm not really good at it. But when you're in the business, you want to be good at what you're doing because you're the expert. When you're at your job, or if you're a lawyer, or whatever you are in terms of occupation, they hired you to do your work because they consider you an expert. Mm-hmm. So come to the table confident and knowing that this is what I bring and this is how I contribute to the success of my business or organization.
Okay. Good answer. Good answer. I would say just being open to the pivot. I feel like when we started the business, we had, as Patricia mentioned, we had an idea of what we thought the business would be, what it would look like, how we would sell, how we would do this A, B, and C. And it's like, that's not how it's happened. That's how, and for better or worse, you know. And so I just think that you just always need to just be open to kind of just that pivot or just being flexible to, you know, still move the business forward, but maybe in a different way. Mm-hmm. Definitely like with our faith, just knowing that God has a plan for you. And so mm-hmm. regardless of like, you know, if it's not happening the way you want it to happen, just be open to how it's happening because it's still, you know, progress, it's still movement. You're still doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's just not looking how, you know, you thought it would look, and that's okay. Yeah. But just keep pressing forward and be open to that new path, that new lane, when you're trying to achieve your goal, because we're all out here just trying to be better.
You just said something that I might title this episode, you know, keep pressing forward, because you know that code press. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you see me now. the last one is, again, what do y'all, I mean, ultimately, what do you want? If you can speak individually, you can speak collectively as a business. What do you want your legacy to be when it's all said and done? When people look back and think about Healthy Haven, I know you kind of touched on it, Patty, in terms of Trader mm-hmm. Joe's, but overall, like, what do you want this to be?
I would say the preferred juice of choice, mm-hmm. Not just in the city of Chicago. I definitely want us to expand outside of Chicago, mm-hmm. If that's possible. But just the preferred juice of choice and knowing that what you're drinking is made with love. You know, with a little twist of our Ghanaian culture, and whether how old you are drinking these juices, whether you're, in grammar school, because we definitely would love to be in the school system. I mean, we didn't even talk about how, like, what was our lunches looking like and our options. Girl, like, it would be great to have a juice, you know, as an option to eat with the meals. But anyway, but just a preferred choice in terms of cold pressed juice. And when someone think about, okay, when I go to the store, when I go to an Aldi's, when I go to a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods or Walmart, yeah. I select Healthy Haven cold pressed juice because they give quality every time I drink it.
Yeah, that quality that was made by two Ghanaian women came together and made a great juice that can be incorporated into your lifestyle. That is just with the overall goal that it was made with you in mind. It was made because we wanted you to drink something better, to make a better choice, to kind of just incorporate that into your day. But definitely just want that Ghanaian aspect to show, and that we made a quality product that we would be proud to serve anywhere. If President Obama came to Chicago and he asked for Healthy Haven juice, listen, hopefully he will, you know, listen, then manifest that right now. Yeah. We would be proud to give him a juice that we already have. He wouldn't be scrambling to go make anything. We know that our juice is quality, and we would be proud to serve it to anyone.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Y'all, this has been dope. And I appreciate just y'all taking the time with your busy schedules. I didn't even get to ask y'all how y'all, matter of fact, let me ask y'all, how y'all balancing work in this? Like, because this is like, wow, like y'all are doing such a great job. You can just quickly answer that and we'll keep it going.
Go ahead, Sexy.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. We are figuring it out as we go, yes, but yes, Google yes. Calendar, yes. Us being accountable to one another, text messages, checking in, reminders, all of that is all what is helping me get through it. Because, yeah, it's logging out, work, leaving work and coming to this other thing, but just in the back of your mind knowing that this is for you. You know, I'm not working for someone else. It's something I want to do. But just, yeah, trying to find that balance has definitely been interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, with work and it's just the two of us, and we do have some volunteers that definitely has helped us throughout since we started Inception. So we appreciate them, but definitely just continuing looking at the why. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting off work. I got to go to the shared kitchen space. I got to prep. But it's always the why. Like, why are we doing this? It's bigger than us. Yeah. And so you always want to definitely, I always look at the why, because if I don't look at the why and the bigger purpose, it's like, then what am I doing it for? Exactly. I can go home and sleep. I can go work out more. How about I go more on vacations instead of going on farmers market? So it's just always looking at the purpose and the why, but being detailed, making sure we keep that balance, because we do like to take vacations and enjoy ourselves, but we know that Healthy Haven is a bigger than what, you know, we think.
Yeah, I love it. And yeah, I mean, that idea of keeping us in mind, I think it's appreciated and it will soon be appreciated. But again, just as someone that knows y'all from before this and to see what you all are doing, like I said before, I had to have y'all on the show. I thank y'all for being on the show. And I mean, you guys are on the brink of something special. So please keep pressing forward, right? Or pressing on. But no, I mean, I say that sincerely in terms of just how proud I am to be able to see what y'all doing. Like I said before in the production meeting, I need a juice. I need your most basic juice, but I need it. And I will come scoop it up. And I also just, I think about what, like my wife and I will watch, we used to watch this like documentary on the History Channel about like the foods that built America. And I think about this, y'all may know, yeah. But you see the stories about how these things, and you're just like, what? Like these people, they just listen like somebody's closet. Like they was just talking and then here come Eminem. Like what? Like, you know what I mean? So, and to see how you all, the genesis of Healthy Haven, I mean, that big picture, Stacey, I mean, keep it. And, you know, Patty, keep doing the day-to-day, the annoying day-to-day thing that we ain't trying to hear, but we need it, right? And so that balance, y'all. Yeah, please. And so whatever we can do here, you know, this is one of the platforms I wanted to do to be able to just expose, uplift y'all as Black women, as sisters, doing the damn thing on, you know, Women's History Month and really making your history on a day-to-day basis. Really wanted to salute y'all and shout out to y'all for that. And I want to give people an opportunity. How can people reach you? How can people be able to learn and be able to find y'all if they want a cold-pressed juice on a Friday night? What can we do?
Yes. So you can follow us on Instagram at Hello Healthy Haven. That's Hello Healthy Haven on Instagram. And then our website also is www.hellohealthyhaven.com. You can find us there too. To purchase orders and things of that nature. Stacey Chan.
I'm about to follow you right now.
Yep. And yep, you can DM us on Instagram or on through our website. You can contact us if you have any questions or you want to place a larger order or special order, you can do that as well. But yes, we're always checking our emails and DMs, and we're open to opportunities. But yeah, you can go ahead.
I was going to say, we're getting ready for our summer, spring farmers market season. So you'll see us more active in the community, selling our juices and, you know, definitely focusing more on opportunities. So keep following us to stay up to date where you'll see us and where you can find us.
All right. Okay, y'all. Well, thank y'all again for jumping on the show. It's been a pleasure. And again, you know, whatever we can do to support y'all, please let us know. Please, if you got to come back, whenever y'all come up with a new flavor, let me know. Let us know. Jump on the show just so we know, so that we can be able to continue to support y'all here on our community. But man, Stacy and Patty, man, appreciate y'all for coming through. And y'all be good.
Thank you. Thank you. And hold on. I just want to give you your flowers because this platform is amazing. And it's just great to see what you're doing for our community of people who have gone to U of I and just everyone that you come in contact with that you recognize are doing great things. So, yeah. Y'all, kudos to you. Your flowers.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll take all the flowers. Just make sure you press them and turn them into juice so I can consume them. I like that. But no, yo, thank y'all so much. I really appreciate it, man.
Hi.
So that's going to do it for this episode of My Black is Transnational. If you like what you heard, please be sure to rate, subscribe, and review the podcast. You can learn more about this podcast by visiting our website at blacktransnational.com. You can follow me, the host, at blacktransnational_ on Instagram, or you can follow the podcast at Black Transnational Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. So, until next time, my name is Dr. Kalechi Bay Lamberts. My Black is Transnational, and I hope by the end of this, yours will be too. Peace.